have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Praise the Lord. It is good to have a heart like God's. A heart after God's own heart. We bring you greetings. We bring you blessings from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and us who are it for his glory. For his glory, International Ministries. I'm here along with my host, the wonderful Dr. Kimmy Kim. I'm your co-host, Apostle Brian Blassingame, and we're just elated, we're just ecstatic to be here, to be able to come to you once more and again and bring forth the word of the Lord. Praise God. Well, I don't know if I'll be here long term or short time. I'm just one of those who just does his best to flow with the Spirit of God and do what God say do and say what God says tells me to say. And we just pray that it finds a happy home and a large acceptance in someone's heart, that it may bring forth fruit and that the fruit may remain in Jesus' name. Before we get started, we have a word of prayer. We thank God for this opportunity to be able to bring forth the word of God. And basically, that's what I'll be teaching on or speaking on tonight, being able to bring forth the word of the Lord or being called to bring forth the word of the Lord. So as we get ready to look into this, we'll start off with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come thanking you for another opportunity to humble ourselves before you and to seek your face at your throne of grace, dominion, majesty, and power. We come binding everything that is not like Christ. We bind every hindrance spirit, every spirit that will try to disturb or distract this broadcast. We bind it on earth that you will bind it in heaven. And we decree, Lord God, that your word go forth. And Father God, that it will find a nesting place, a resting place in the hearts of men, that it should bring forth fruit, and that the fruit shall multiply, that you be glorified in the earth. Bless, Lord God, Dr. Kimmy Kim, bless her family. Continue, Lord God, to strengthen them in all areas. Continue to meet all their needs according to your riches and glory, which is in Christ Jesus. And we just give you praise, Lord God, for watching over me, watching over my family. And we thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. As we approach another Thanksgiving and Christmas, which is right around the corner, my God, how did this year just really flew by. These are another blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Well, again, I'm going through my devotion and my daily devotion, and I come across this one subject where it talks about giving yourself to the preaching of the gospel. Giving yourself to the preaching of the gospel. You know, I've been in different subjects and topics like this with other men of God, and we are or have been seeing quite a bit of different ministers, if you would, seem as though like they have chosen or they have gone into bringing forth the word of the Lord, but it seems as though there's so many of them in this day and time now that's going into it with the wrong motive, the wrong thought, the wrong passion. I've seen and heard different people say, you know, that, and I've seen and watched this little shift, and it seems like a lot of people want to be bishops, or they want to be apostles, or they want to be prophets. And it seems like those are the three offices that people get hit on the most, and there's a reason for that, and one reason is because in those three offices, those offices are a lot of times because they are prophetic, they are the voice of God. So the object of the enemy is to try to stop them from speaking what God says speak, because God watches. God always watches over His word to perform whatever He is saying. However. From my point of view, being placed in the office of an apostle or having the gift which has been graced upon me to be an apostle, I don't really see where it's been that much of a glamorized position or glamorized office, if you will. Now, I'm quite sure I could get some people to debate that with me. But I'll say I don't think that real apostles or true apostles would differ with me, because those offices, that of the prophet, that of the apostle, a lot of times come under a lot of scrutiny. So I can't say that particular office, those particular offices, or place of glamour, if you would. Because what a lot of people don't understand and don't realize is that, and I know a lot of people hear this, and it's kind of like, so like, I know it's just kind of like a cliche, but salvation is free, which is true, but the anointing is, it comes with a price. And that price often is a lot of shed tears, shedding of tears, breaking of heart, breaking of spirit, a lot of disappointments, a lot of warfare, spiritual warfare. We experience from time to time a place of lack. We experience a lot of struggles, a lot of testing that you go through, where God proves the call and anointing that He placed on your life. It's not like you get in and you graduate overnight to this particular office, if you will. Especially if you start to minister prophetically or in the office of healing and delivering and stuff like that, because in order for you to be able to proclaim and preach the gospel that God is a healer, then how do you know that except you go through some stuff and have God to heal you? How do you know that God's a lawyer except you go through the courtroom without any physical lawyer, and God steps in and baffles the courtroom, and you go away as a walk, and you go away as a free man? That's just part of one of my many different testimonies. I mean, how do you know this stuff except you become a part of this? That's why He says the righteous shall live by faith. I can preach this to you, and others can preach this to you, and it be effective because they have lived what they're preaching, or they have lived what they're preaching, they have experienced what they're preaching. And a lot of times, when we go into different places and different avenues and different houses, God will give us a message to the people. And a lot of times the message that He's given to the people is something that we have just came out of. And in some cases, we're still in it. We're still in it because, you know, you've heard the saying that it always runs downhill. You know what I'm talking about. So a lot of times when those who come to bring the word, there's a lot of times they have gone through that battle, and God has given them the victory over that battle, or they're still going through the process, and God has shown them how they're going to come out to the point where they have enough faith to tell others how they too are going to come out. But earlier I was thinking, someone had told me a while back, a long time ago, he mentioned to me that the gospel is very dangerous. Now, this right here is going to coincide with something else that I just experienced. And the reason he said that, I looked at him very strangely and said, but he said, because it's dangerous if you preach the gospel? Is it because if you preach the gospel, and you preach the gospel unadulterated, you preach the gospel without it being sugar-coated, you preach thus what thus saith the Lord, everybody might go always like you. Jesus preached the gospel and was crucified for it. So everybody's not going to always pat you on the back and give you flowers for preaching the gospel. I remember when God called me into the ministry, from the book of Ezekiel. And in that book, he tells the prophet Ezekiel that he's going to send him to different houses, different places. He tells him he's going to send him to people of his own, meaning these are going to be some people who profess my name. These are going to be some people who are going to be saved people. These are going to be some people that know the word just like you know the word. But he said they're going to be rebellious houses. They're going to be rebelling against God. But he told him, he said, whether they hear you or whether they don't hear you, preach my word. And a lot of times I think some of us, we go in, and I've had a discussion with someone once before where they thought, well, whenever we was doing the ministry together, we was getting out the ground, and he thought that whenever we go to different churches, we should have a group of people follow us and make it mandatory that they follow us so that whenever we're preaching, we would have somebody to say amen while we're preaching or whatever. And the Lord had me to put him in check and said, what you do is you just give an invitation, and if God wants them to be there, he'll send them there. If they need to say amen, he'll say amen. But you don't set up props to have people come and follow you and rah, rah, rah you. Because God is not calling us to develop cheerleaders or call cheerleaders or anything. He calls us to win souls, to bring souls. As a minister, you have to condition yourself and realize that you, when you go to a particular house or particular church or what have you, when you start preaching the word of God, you have to realize that everybody may not say amen. Even though you may be right, even though you may be saying what thus says the Lord, you may not always hear a bunch of amens while you while you are preaching. I've done a funeral or two, and it seemed like nobody was more. I actually had a couple of them get up and walk out because they may have been Jehovah's Witnesses or something or whatever, but as soon as I came out with the word, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they got them walked out. But you just have to keep focused and keep praying and keep preaching what thus saith the Lord. But however, in the end of the service, at the end of the homegoing, about 5 or 6 people come up to give their heart to the Lord. The word that God gave me wasn't an easy word. But the word wasn't for the one who had passed on. The word was for us who were still here. Oh, Lord, I didn't know I was going to get into all that. But after the service, I had several come to me and said, you spoke what thus says the Lord, and we thank you for that. That's the only way people are going to be saved, is by speaking what thus says the word, the Lord, not sugarcoating anything, not trying to paint a glorious picture, but allowing people to realize that, you have a choice. If you want to go to heaven, you got to choose Christ, and if you don't want to go to heaven, then don't choose Christ. I didn't know that I was going to get caught up in that, but yet I did. But it's very important that the gospel is taught. It's very important that the gospel is taught, that is spread, and God gave us a commission to preach the gospel. When we look at Mark 16, starting at the 15th chapter, it's a lot of times it's called the Great Commission. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, and of course this is before he get crucified. We know that the time is coming near to him being crucified. So he brings his disciples and he tells them in the 15th verse, I'm reading from the NIV, he says to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. He said, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, John, the third chapter, is broken down a little bit more direct, especially in the King James Version, because he says, he that believes and is baptized shall have eternal life. And then he said, well, he that do not believe, but doesn't believe, is condemned already. So that reminds me of one other time I was asking God, what is the greatest sin? And he said, unbelief. And when he said unbelief, I was like, okay, God, I need the scripture for that. And that's when he expounded about John, the third chapter, where he said, if he don't believe, he's condemned already. Until he comes to the knowledge of the truth, he's walking around condemned, bound, and his destination is not for heaven. And if your destination is not for heaven, it's for hell. Except you hear the word of God and turn from your wicked ways, then shall you be saved. But he tells them to go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, not showing any partiality, not showing any favoritism. He said, preach it to every living creature, whether they're black, whether they're white, whether they're Jew, whether they're Hispanic, whether they're Indian, it doesn't matter. God is giving a free invitation to all to receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, you get, sometimes when you get into this, you will get some people, I've had it done to me more times than once, who will buck you on that. What I mean by buck, push back. And they have a tendency to say some stuff like, why don't you mind your business? Why don't you just leave us alone, and why don't you just let us live how we want to live? Well, you have to realize that there's a commission and there's a command on our lives. There's a particular scripture in Ezekiel. I'm going there again. But there's a particular scripture in Ezekiel. I believe it's around the 18th chapter. I'm sure it's pretty front. Yeah. In the 18th chapter. Jesus, or the Lord, says to Ezekiel, he says to him, to warn the wicked, tell him about his sinful ways. And he said, if the wicked will hear you and turn and repent, he said, his soul shall be saved. This is why it was said to me that the gospel is dangerous. On the flip side, when he said it's dangerous if you preach it, then he said it's dangerous if you don't preach it. Because in Ezekiel, he tells him, to the prophet, he says, now, if you warn the wicked and he turns from the wicked way, his soul shall be saved. But he also said, but if you warn the wicked, no, he said, if I tell you to warn the wicked and you don't warn the wicked, he said, and the wicked die in his sins, he said, the blood of the wicked, he will hold it accountable, that blood of the wicked shall be at the person's hand who did not warn the wicked when God told him to warn the wicked. That's the other danger part of not preaching the gospel. If he called you to preach the gospel, you must answer the call. And I found out, now, been in this thing long enough now, and Lord knows I'm still finding out, that he is God, and he always gets what he wants. To God be the glory. I'm chuckling because I just read something that, I'm just human. And I love the Lord. The Lord loves me. And there was a situation where he spoke some stuff. I was elated. I was excited at one time. But then later, as you know, you're looking at the process, it don't look so good. It don't feel so good. So then you throw your hands up and you're ready to go another way, or either don't even want to fool with it at all. And then God comes back to you, checks you, and remind you that he's the Father, and you're the Son, and he's going to get what he wants, period, point blank. So then once more again, you just throw your hands up and say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And you go back to the grind, and you go back to praying, and you go back to holding fast to what God said he was going to do, and realize and trust that he knows best. Oh, to God be the glory. I guess that's one of those times where you need to take what you think is lemon to make lemonade. But anyway, going back to God saying, preach the gospel to every living creature. And then he even goes farther and says, baptize. Baptize them. There's a lot of controversy in this. A lot of controversy comes through this when he says, baptize them. And he says, this too, also in the 17th verse, he says, and these signs shall accompany those who believe in my name. They would drive out demons. They would speak in new tongues. They would pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well. Ah, let me go walk into that a little bit, because said, and I believe that it is true. I believe all of it. That part in the 18th verse where it says they will pick up snakes. Now, there's also another scripture that says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So, to me, that right there will fall in that category because I'm not, unless I know it's God, I'm not picking up no snake. I'm sorry. I'm not, no. The same thing is part with us, and if they should drink anything deadly, no, I'm not gonna tempt God knowing something deadly and pick it up and drink it. Now, let's say somebody dupe you, put something in your drink, put something in your food, which I've experienced that and did not know that. And yes, it did have effect. Yes, it did. It was designed to wipe me out, take me out. And I'm not talking about taking me out of the dinner. It was designed to take me out of this world. But because of God, because of this word, because of the scripture, God didn't let any hurt, harm, or danger come to me through it. But that don't mean go out there and play foo-foo to fool and pick up a revolve and put one bullet in it and play Russian roulette and see if it goes off and test God. No, that's not what he's talking about there. Laying hands on the sick and they shall be healed. That reminds me, and I meant to open up tonight with a testimony. There's a young lady that I know have grown very fond of because she's, you know, from where she works at this restaurant. Matter of fact, her mom and pretty much the whole establishment was really a blessing to me. When my parents passed, they kind of like did a lot of, you know, consoling and looked out for me and whatnot, what have you. But she had a bad report, a negative report through her doctor. And so when she told me about it, and she told me about it because I don't know, the Lord impressed her upon my heart, and I asked her one day, I said, are you getting enough rest? She said, nah. I'm like, first she tried to say, yeah, but I said, no, you're not. I said, because I was thinking about you, and the Lord laid impressed on me, you're not really getting enough rest. So then she explained to me that she had been to the doctor. The doctor gave a bad report concerning cancer. So there's a prayer group that I pray with. It was Monday night. We got together and we start holding her name up, you know, before the Lord. And I think it was Monday before last, one of the prophets said that they saw God tearing up a bad report and that somebody was going to get good news. And we didn't know who the somebody was. We just know it was going to be somebody on the line. And so I went into the restaurant where the young lady was working. I want to say it was Tuesday, Wednesday, and she told me she had gone back to the doctor. The doctor had ran 5 tests on her and found no more cancer. So we give God praise for that, because God still is in the healing business. He still heals. He still delivers. He still set free. And the word says you can lay hands on the sick, pray the prayer of faith, and God will raise them up. So that's just another part of the importance of preaching the gospel. I want to share one other thing with you, too, because early on in ministry, when he started talking about going throughout into the world, I had the opportunity to go to Barbados, the church that I was a part of. Sent me to Barbados, and the church that we're affiliated with, we're a church that, you know, we're just led by the Spirit of God. So I didn't know if I be preaching, teaching, whatever. But anyway, I started preparing myself for something, anything, just in case they call on me to preach and minister the word of the Lord. And we were there for a whole week. And through the whole week, nothing, not one time did they call on me. And it was after the Friday night service, we were getting ready to go at home, that we were leaving that Saturday. And this young lady that was there, who always helped the mothers, you know, prepare the meals and stuff for us, she was there, we began to talk. And she was having problems with her marriage. I had just, I think this one gone through a divorce. And the Lord allowed me to share some things and minister to her in those areas. To my knowledge, to the best of my knowledge, the marriage did work. I didn't pay that much attention to it till I got back home. And maybe days went by. And it dawned on me just how much God cares for us. Yeah, I was preparing myself thinking that I'm going to be speaking to a group of people or to a church. But God put me on a plane, threw me across the waters to this place to actually minister to a one-on-one person, to one person. He just wanted me to minister to one person. And that thought blew my mind. Because I had to pay the same fare that everybody else had to pay that was a part of going down there, you know, ministering and doing their part, stuff like that. But it just showed me that God cared just as much for that one person as he did the whole congregations that we were ministering to. So that's why he says, go throughout all the world, preach the gospel to every living creature, because it is life. It is life. This is the X-team. And we're going to look at about the 40. I think I wrote in the 47th verse. X, the 10th chapter. And the 42nd. Verse. And then I'll be coming out in NIV where he said, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. Listen, the disciples said he commanded us. There's a difference between asking. They made it clear, no, we wasn't asked. He commanded us. Somebody tried to hit me up and say something about that thing was so far away from the truth, man. They tried to say it, and they said it was prophesying. They tried to say that I was doing this thing called the gospel for money. No, I was done, or I was doing this, or I am doing this because I am commanded to do this. Now, God did say the just shall live by faith. they preach the gospel, she'll live of the gospel. So that's how God has assigned this gospel to me. It's not that I'm going around saying, well, you know, I come to you, see you, and I preach to you. I preach that and this, that, and the third. If you give me X number of dollars, no, it's not like that. I go where God say go. I preach what God say preach. And if there's something, you know, that God bless me with, or find, if he don't find, I was blessed to be able to do it. To God be the glory. But he commissioned them to preach unto the people. Testify, not only preaching, but testifying of his goodness. Testifying that he is the judge of the living and of the dead. Testifying. Telling people that he is God and beside him there is no other. Testifying. Telling what God has done and what God is doing for you. Testifying, telling God what God has done through you or what God has done through others for you. Testifying that he is the judge of the living and of the dead. Listen. And being part of being able to testify that he is part of the dead, what people a lot of times don't understand is that there is things that dies in you. There's things that literally dies in your life. Certain things you have no more desire to do anymore. It's because he has killed it. It is dead to you no more. It don't bother you no more. When you used to be able, or when you used to walk into a room full of marijuana, you had to have a hit. You had to partake of that. It's dead to you now. It don't faze you. It don't bother you. You used to walk into a room without others drinking Jack Daniels, Old English or whatever, or Coke 45 or whatever. You had to go ahead and get you a little sip too. But now it's dead to you. It don't faze you. And then there's other parts that even go even farther, that sometimes that in this thing, her ministry, he may take you to a place to so close to death and then raise you back up to let you know that he is the God of the living and of the dead. There's many stories where some people have died and he brought them back to life and they're preaching the gospel. I probably can think of some that may have died more times than once, and he brought them back to life, and he's still preaching the gospel. But nevertheless, there is an importance, a very important reason as to why we preach this gospel. And it's so important that God has placed a mandate on a lot of people's lives. And I don't know, and maybe somebody is under the sound of my voice right now, that you may be wrestling with the thought. Maybe you're not sure if God's calling you. Maybe you do have an inkling of a clue, but you haven't given in yet. I can tell you right now, just like why they're doing the MMA, UFC, whatever, when they get you in a certain submission hold, I can tell you now, before you get in the submission hold, you are in the submission hold, you might as well just tap out. Give God what he wants, because he's going to get it anyway. Ephesians 3:8 verse says, although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. So Paul was writing there, and he was explaining to him the gift and why he was called into this, to explain the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, it's fascinating how he reveals and how he even unfolds different things pertaining to the mysteries of God and the kingdom of God. I know it baffles me and blows my mind a lot of times, because sometimes when he does it to me, I'm in a place where a lot of times my mind may not be on him. It may not be on the kingdom of God. I might be on a basketball game or a football game. And he just, you know how you watch something and all of a sudden they say, we interrupt this program. He don't do nothing like that. He just start downloading. I just thank God for what he do and how he do it. But be mindful. I'm just here today to be mindful of how important it is that the gospel go forth. I know that there's a lot of scamming going on in the lead in the day, but I know that there's a lot of truth going on out there in the lead in the day as well. But I want to say this. And I'm not one that don't hear me going this avenue that often. But if there's someone that you know who is legit, someone who is doing the work of the Lord, I'll say that it would be wise to make some type of investment in them, to help them spread the gospel. A lot of people seem to think when it comes to that those who spread the gospel shouldn't have this, shouldn't have that. And a lot of people like to see them lacking, broke, or whatever. How valuable is your soul? How valuable is your soul? How valuable is the word of the Lord if it keeps you from the hand of the enemy, if it keeps you from the hand of the devourer? How valuable is your body if this gospel can touch it and heal it? How valuable? See, sometimes we look at things the wrong way. But anyway, keep that in mind. How valuable is the gospel? Not only protect it, not only speak it, but also help get the word out, even if it's not through you, but through others. I'm going to bring it to a close tonight. And as always, if you're out there, you're under the sound of my voice, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, give me the opportunity to where you can become a part of the kingdom of God. part of the royal priesthood. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me, meaning in your heart. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner, and I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that on the third day you raised him from the dead with our power in your hands. I believe this with my heart. I confess it with my mouth. And your word said that if I do so, I shall be saved. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for making me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I renounce Satan. He has no place in my life. Wash me and cleanse me in the blood of Jesus that I may be a new creature. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you said this prayer with me and you like more prayer, you like to get more prayer, call me. You can reach me Facebook. You can reach me Instagram. You can reach me Snapchat, Brian Blassingham. We'll be glad to pray with you, pray for you. And until then, remember, whatever you do, do it in decency and in order. But most of all, do it for his glory. We're out tonight. Kimmy Kim, we thank you. Will you please take us out? Amen.
Choose you, Jesus. It's only